speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the executive director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that you can always listen to the show again. So sometimes people say, oh, you know, I was listening to the show last night and I got home and I didn't hear the end. You know what? You can always go to our website, which is www.nagb.org.bs, and you go to the Learn menu and scroll down to Adult and Public Programs, and you can listen to all of the Blank Canvas archive shows going back like several years. So when the rainy season is upon us, it's a great thing to do if you are at home with nothing to do. And while you're on our website, please, go and move around it. We have a lot of virtual shows now ever since the pandemic. Even though we are open, we are now doing 360 virtual tours of a lot of our shows. So you can find them online. You can find activities for your kids. You can find teachers' packets, how to teach art from distance learning. We have lots of resources, and we're here to help you through all of this. So please, you know, if you see something, reach out to us. There's a lot to explore. There's a lot to learn. And the NAGB is here to uplift and inspire you through art. So tonight we're talking about the show Floating Rib, which just opened last week at the National Art Gallery. It focuses on 9 Black women of the Bahamas, 3 of whom are here with me tonight. And that wording is done intentionally. The curator, Natalie Willis, is not necessarily saying Bahamian, Black Bahamian women, because we all have different ways that we're connected to the Bahamas. And the next artist we want to hear from is Tiffany. Tiffany Smith, who we consider an artist of the Bahamas. But tell us, Tiffany, a little bit about, you know, again, your relationship to the country, some of what the other artists were speaking on about these feelings of belonging. I know a lot of your work has to do with that and how, you know, people, as we're perceived as people of the Caribbean, but specifically of the Bahamas.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for having me. As far as my connection to the Bahamas, I was born actually in Miami, and as an infant, like 6 weeks, moved to the Bahamas. My grandfather, my paternal grandfather, is Bahamian. So my father, his mother is Jamaican. So they grew up, my father and his sister, in Jamaica. And my mother is born in Guyana and raised in Trinidad. So, you know, amidst my whole family, it's definitely a blended Caribbean heritage. But I did spend my, you know, early and formative years in the Bahamas. Which has definitely impacted, you know, my personality and all the things that I cherish most, like the ocean, first and foremost.
Yes.
So these are the issues that I address in my work. My practice is interdisciplinary. It's grounded in photography. I do a lot of photography work, blended in with video and installation.
Some listeners might remember, if they come to the NAGB regularly, which I hope you do if you're listening to the show, Tiffany had a really amazing installation in the NE, the last one, I think it was the NE9.
Yes.
And you did like a wallpaper and a video installation, mm-hmm. and there was a series of 3 photographs of self-portraits of you sort of dressed up as different personas.
That's right. Yeah, that series is called, photographic series is called For Tropical Girls. And yes, it, within it, I sort of staged these different ethnographic studies of myself and investigate that relationship with representing an identity, a Black identity that's of a sort of blended heritage stemming from the Caribbean.
And do you find when you move across the borders as well that there's this sort of different expectation or different treatment of, you know, whether you are in the Bahamas where you're perceived one way, or then in the United States where you're perceived another way? Like, how difficult is that for you to negotiate?
1,000%. It's like it's a constant process and a constant learning process. And I think why I've been drawn to these subjects within my work, it's, you know, me trying to work out these things personally throughout my life and reflected back through my work. But there is a shift in the way that identity is perceived here and that Blackness is perceived here in the U.S. That, in my opinion, often doesn't embrace identities outside of the U.S. you know, like blackness is spoken about from a very Black American perspective. Mm-hmm. And then so traveling back to the islands, also there's a disconnect, and I sort of related to the experiences like floating between different islands or different homes. It's like not really quite settled in any one place because there's always an air of disconnection or not quite fully belonging in any one place.
Yeah. And I'll say your work also speaks to very much like the effect of tourism that has on our country. So one of the pieces in the show is called Yellow Bird in Banana Tree. And it's again, a self-portrait, and you're sort of surrounded by all these objects that are very tropical. But of course, like for those of us from the Bahamas, like we all know that song. We heard it growing up, like, yellow bird. Yeah.
So, oh my God.
And of course, that also refers to, you know, how some people might refer to skin tone to somebody who's of this heritage. So I think it's a really great piece. What would you want like visitors to like take from that or learn from that?
I definitely wanted to create a point of connection that people locally in the Bahamas could easily recognize and latch onto. You know, that song, I remember very deeply from growing up in grade school. It's like once it gets in your head also, it just like stuck there forever. So my apologies. But I also find I do like touching on the connections to tourism and how we sell ourselves and our island and our culture. My father's career is in tourism. He worked with the Ministry of Tourism in the Bahamas and Jamaica for most of his career, with the Marina Association in the Bahamas. So very tied to and influenced by the ways that the industry of tourism and how we contribute to it as locals and how it's viewed and perceived outwardly, right? So with that piece, I was really led to create something that would directly reflect the Bahamas and a Bahamian experience and have something to latch onto in that way. But I'm also really interested in how culture gets interpreted and reinterpreted, right? So that song was actually from a Haitian poem and then got picked up and rewritten as a song by a white songwriter, actually. Wow. So it's one of those things where like there's certain songs like how the Beach Boys have done covers of certain songs that become, you know, registered into our cultural understanding as this, I like to call it trop rock, that the tropical, you know, beat. And it's, you know, sampled from a specific cultural source and then repackaged and sold back to you through this other source. So I'm very interested in that, that pattern and that wave of tourism in a sense, right?
Yeah, and the way it kind of again creates this kind of false narrative of really who we are and what you're going to find when you get here.
Exactly. And plays into a tourist perception of what the island is and what the island has to offer, you know, where in reality it doesn't reflect at all what the local culture really is and what people really share amongst each other.
Yeah, I mean what I just came to my head, which is I wonder how much, because, you know, we're talking about like how there can also be the struggle for, you know, anyone who doesn't fit into the kind of cookie cutter mold of like what it is to be Bahamian, how they're difficult to belong here. And I really wonder like how much tourism has also made us think that is what we should be, see what I mean? So, you know, that you look at our advertising, you don't see a lot of, mixed Bahamians. It's, you know, they what we pushes out a very one-dimensional image, and that makes anyone who doesn't fit into that image like it's almost like we've drunk out the Kool-Aid of tourism ourselves.
Absolutely. There's no way for it not to be an influence.
Margot, April, what do you feel that, like, I mean, Margot, you've talked about, like, again, you go up to Canada, you almost feel more at home there. How do you feel like tourism has somehow made it difficult to exist here as the kind of Bahamian you want to be because we don't fit neatly into those packages?
Oh, boy. I don't know, not sure if I'm the best person to answer that. I have a lot of criticisms of the tourism industry. You know, I've been around for a long time, seen everything. Being here, you know, it changed for me. I think getting older means that I'm a bit more removed, or I can be a bit more removed from the fray, if you like.
Yeah.
I still see all the problems, and I also see a lot of younger, you know, artists and activists that are getting involved, I think, in really positive ways to engage with us and our culture in ways that don't, you know, aren't just about selling the Bahamas to the tourist dollar. And so there are new economies arising, and there are new interests and new, and obviously, you know, the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, you know, is a good example of an institution that's pulling people away from these stereotypes of paradise, and all of that's good. I mean, for like, you know, I have to say I'm very fortunate that I grew up, you know, sort of, you know, hugged with a big warm hug from my family, so involved in culture.
And
that has probably helped me to know, it's not that I'm not, I don't have a look at tourism with a critical eye. I think the other aspect of it is trying to understand and balance people's needs and what a driving force tourism is, you know, for the economy. I think coming up with the solutions to address the issues that arise when we don't honor our culture, you know, those are challenging when people have to make a living, and you know, there's a lot to change, and there's a lot of growth, you know, that has to happen.
I think it's hard for artists specifically, because they feel like they have to sometimes, homegrown artists feel that they have to make work that's going to appeal to that audience in order to just survive, right? And that maybe they can't be their authentic selves and make that, you know, that's why all of you three have like made this really important work that's like very honest about really who you are. You know, Margot, your work is a film, which is really about, you know, you, coming out, transforming yourself, you know, through a haircut. It's called Loving Room. And it's really encouraging us to accept our differences. And, you know, April's piece, which has a word in it I can't say on the air, but I'll say most of it. It's a great title. Thigh snack, fry dry. What you trying to say? What you trying to say? Raise your effing voice. I can't hear what you're trying, what you say. April can say that better than me, but it's, and I think when we come back from the break, we can talk about, again, like April's whole kind of brand. You know, you're so unapologetic about, you know, who you are. And I think all three of you have like put yourselves so much in your work with just bravery and truth. And I think that's what's so important about the work. And it's got nothing to do with like trying to make people comfortable or trying to make people, you know, buy into whatever they expect us, you know, or you as women, as Black women to be. And I think that's kind of why it's such a successful show, because it's just people being true to themselves and being authentic. So we're going to go to a quick break. We're going to come back. I'd like to talk to April about actually her piece. Also, because we were talking about tourism and how tourism kind of brands the country. And April has really come up with her own brand, Colonial Swag, and a whole planet that she can tell us about after the break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. You are listening to Guardian Radio 96.9. We're going to be right back after a short break.